Man, it's so good to be here today, and it's always an honor to be at Hope College. And I guess I feel like I need to start the poll with Saturday, right? And I just need to congratulate the Odd Year folks, man. Way to go this year. And for the rest of y'all, there's always next year. So that's my good news. It is, we have hundreds of students who are part of Engedi Church. It's one of the things I think that makes Engedi Engedi is so many amazing Hope students who are part of the fabric of our community. We just launched this incredible Thursday night event for college students, young adults at Engedi, and our pastor of young adults, Winna, is here, and you're going to get flyers on the way out about that. So many students for that. It's been awesome, awesome to see. And before I even get started, I want you guys to know, we always like when we come to kind of bless Hope in any way we can, kind of what we were talking about with Covenant Partnership. And so every year we do this conference that's called Unfinished, and it basically is about helping capture our imaginations for God's heart for the world. That's what it means. It's unfinished. The idea is this: there are still 7,000 people groups in the over the course of the earth that have not heard of Jesus, not one word, never his name, and we want to help people capture a vision for God's heart, and that's what this one-day conference Unfinished is all about. And so here's what we're going to do. You're going to get information on your way out, but here's my gift to you coming in today, that for any student who registers, it normally costs money, for any student who registers today or tomorrow, it's completely free. Does that sound like a fair price for you guys? Completely free. All right. I hope that fits your college budget. I feel like maybe it can. So you'll get information on the way out. Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that I just dearly love. It's Matthew chapter 9. And we'll just, if you have a Bible, you can take it out right now. We're going to be reading from Matthew 9. And the study that we'll be in over these next weeks will be through the book of Matthew. But this is such a great illustration of the heart of Christ. And so beginning in verse 2, it says, "Some men brought to Jesus a paralyzed man lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith," particularly the friends who brought this man on the mat, who saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow's blaspheming. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk?" And then Jesus goes on to make this great point. He says right after this, it says, "So he said to the paralyzed man, get up and take your mat and go home. And the man got up and he went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to this man." There's so many things I love about this passage, and I could spend a lot. I love this picture of friendship, that this guy is suffering on a mat, and he has friends that are good enough and kind enough and compassionate enough to say, "We're going to pick you up and carry you to the feet of Jesus." And I hope you have friends like that. That's a great picture of friendship. I love in this story that the faith of the friends is highlighted. It's not even so much about the man who needs this healing. It's not even so much about his faith. It's honestly the faith of friends. They believe that if they could trust Jesus for healing, and they come with full faith, and Jesus does something great. And of course, I love the fact that Jesus heals the man. And I love, it's such a reminder to every one of us that Jesus wants to come to the deepest places of pain that you and I face, and he wants to bring healing to those places. If you believe that, could you say amen? He wants to bring healing to the deepest places of pain that you and I face. But do you know, as much as I love all of those aspects about this particular story in Jesus' life, they're actually these dimensions of the healing story. They're not actually the primary emphasis of the text, because the primary emphasis of this story is spoken to very clearly by Jesus in verse 6, where he says, I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. And so he says to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And Jesus' basic argument, watch this. Jesus' basic argument is this: all right, you want to believe I can forgive sins? You want to believe I can do the deepest kind of heart repair work you can possibly imagine. Then watch this. If you want to know if I've got the authority to do it, I'm going to heal this guy who's never walked probably a day in his life. He's going to be busting out his best Simone Biles at that moment, right? He's going to do flipping and all kinds of crazy. He's going to have a floor routine going on. I demonstrate, but I don't want to impress you too bad this morning. And so he's going to, and he says, listen, if I can turn this guy into Simone Biles, friends, you can believe I've got the authority to help you with your sin. Do you believe that? And so that's Jesus' primary argument. And what that means to us is that the primary question to us is actually not what area of life do you most need healing? That's an important question. Jesus is without a doubt interested in that question. But the primary question that Jesus, I think, would have us ask is, how are you responding to the authority of Christ to bring spiritual healing and wholeness in your life? Primary question isn't, what's in your life that's broken, like emotionally or physically? Those are good questions. Those are really important questions. The text, in some ways, but the primary question is, how are you responding to the authority that Christ has to bring spiritual healing to your life? To be honest, I don't think we love the word authority, do we? I mean, is anybody like, oh man, authority, that's just, I dig what authority. I think most of us, like we did a word association game. Most of us, you hear the word authority and people are like, oh, warm and fuzzies, tell me more about authority. I want more authority in my life. It's just not, like, you know, my son, Evan, he's both strong-willed and sharp-tongued, which is a terrible combination. And when he was 8, just a couple of years ago, we had this moment where we gave Evan a timeout for something. And I'll never forget this moment because this kid knows how to use words, right? He says, I hope he's going to be a preacher someday because we can use his powers for good at some point, right? But he gets his time out and he says to mom and dad, he says, you know, it's not fair. The mom and dad have all the authority in this family. The kids should have authority. But watch, he goes on, right? And I'm like, what are you doing? You're 8 years old talking about authority in the first place. But then he goes on. You shouldn't be able to give me a timeout. He says, I should be able to give you a timeout and send you to your room right now. Now, if you're married and your kid gives you your mom and dad a timeout to their room, maybe you're not complaining, but I didn't plan to say that, and at times my wife will say afterwards, Brian, you shouldn't have said that, so we may have a conversation going later. I don't think authority is a word that we love to hear, but here's the thing, friends, and this is what's so important. Jesus' authority is different. Jesus' authority isn't the kind of authority that's just to kind of beat you up or to give you timeouts. Jesus' authority is seen throughout the scriptures. You understand, Jesus' authority is always to encourage. It's always to serve. It's always to bring life. Do you know this, Hope? This is the nature of Jesus' authority. I love that famous verse in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, I came to bring life and life to the full. So I just want to ask you today one simple question, which is, are you submitting to Jesus' great authority to bring life? Are you submitting? Are you bowing your knee in every area of your life and saying, Jesus, you have authority over this part of my life, over my finances. I know you say, oh, I'm broke, over your finances, even the meager ones, right? Are you saying, I'm giving you, Jesus, authority over my time. I've got tons of classes, but I'm going to make space for you in my life where I'm going to bow my knee and I'm going to hear your voice and I'm going to respond to what you say. Are you making space for the spiritual authority of Jesus to bring life in your relationship with a boyfriend or your girlfriend? I remember it in college, and I'm going to just kind of make this real quick because I want to get you guys out on time. But man, our sophomore year, Christine and I, first 2 years, we were engaged. We were dating at Indiana University. We're getting our business degrees, and our sexual intimacy, I'm telling you, was just out of control and not in a good way for those first 2 years. And we finally came to a point where we said, are we going to submit to the spiritual authority that Christ has to bring life in our relationship? And we finally said, this is how bad it was. We said, for the next 2 years, because we're going to get married after college, for the next 2 years, we're just going to kiss each other on the cheek, and that's it. Because we knew anything more, and it was a steep and quick decline. And I'll tell you, you might think, oh man, that's drawing the line pretty closely. I don't know about all that stuff. Well, I'll tell you, those were the, up to that point, our two best years of our relationship. Why? Because we submitted to the authority of Christ to bring spiritual wholeness. Do you see that? And it changed our relationship. And so I want to ask, are you willing, every area of your life, to submit to Jesus' authority, which always brings life? And I want to make one other very brief point, very, very brief point, and that is this. Not only does Jesus' authority stand apart because he always uses it to build up, but Jesus' authority is also different from a lot of other leaders because he loves to delegate authority. He doesn't hoard it, he delegates it. Matthew 28, verse 17, it says, "All authority in heaven and earth, Jesus says, has been given to me. Watch this delegation. Now therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." And I want you to know, friends, as much as Jesus' spiritual authority is so he can restore and repair and heal you spiritually, and as much as I hope you submit to for your sake, it's not just about you. At some point, it's not just about submitting to Jesus' authority. At some point, it's about taking up Jesus' authority in your life on behalf of the nations. You've got a purpose. God has a purpose for you that is bigger than you. Do you believe that? He's got a purpose for you to impact the nations. And I just... I'm kind of praying, and this has been a prayer for us, for all of our student body at Hope for a long time, is that God will raise up a whole generation of folks who say, I'm not only going to submit to Jesus' authority in my life, but I'm going to use Jesus' authority to help the nations come to know Christ. Let me pray for you. Father, on this day, I'm so grateful to be with my Hope friends. I'm so grateful for so many who have been changed by an encounter with the authority of Christ to bring life and wholeness and forgiveness. And now I pray that as much as we would submit to your authority, Jesus, which always brings life, I pray we would walk out these doors and step into the authority you have delegated to us. Would we be agents of hope, healing, and even agents of the gospel, not just here in Holland, but around the globe? We prayed in faith in Jesus' name, and everybody said together, amen. Amen. Have a great day. Thanks for having me, guys.